Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
My name's Keith. I want to welcome you here, especially if this is a new place for you. I'm one of the pastors here. You know, it's Christmas, and kids, I know you've been sitting for a long time. Kids, whether you're young or maybe you're a 90-year-old kid or even higher than that in here, we got a little gift for you that we want to hand out. So, ushers, why don't you come forward? We got a few people that are have some bags of Kinder Surprises. So, parents, if you don't want your kids to have sugar this morning, we're really sorry. Because you're going to have to figure that out on your own. But ushers, where are we down here? Come on, don't be shy. Lauren, come on in. Let's hand these out. Take one and pass it along the aisle. Go ahead, guys, and we can do that. While we're doing that, I'm going to unbox my egg here, so you can receive those. Let's see what we've got. I kind of feel right now that I'm like watching a YouTube channel that my son likes to watch of people unboxing toys. Anyone have kids? You know that? They sit and watch other people open toys. It's just bizarre to me, the thought. But kids, look what I got. I got a Minion head. Anyone? Minion head? No? We got to open this a little further, don't we? All right, let's see what we've got. I have got, oh my goodness, this looks like Luke Skywalker. Anyone that's gone to see the movie yet? Yeah. Let me tell you how it ends. I actually did. This looks like a Star Wars action figure. All right, why don't you grab one of those eggs, and you can open that. You can eat the chocolate. You can put it together as I speak if you like. I have a few things that I want to share with you. I'm going to give this to Brendan. You didn't get one? It's good. Do you remember the joy of unboxing a new gift as a kid? You remember that? There's one particular gift that I remember more than all the rest. I can vividly see in my mind the moment when my dad came walking down the stairs and he announced to my sister and I that he was going to take us to Toys R Us. The Disneyland of all toy stores. And he said when we got to Toys R Us, he was going to buy us any toy that we chose. And you know, even though this wasn't Christmas time, this was a Christmas miracle in my house. It was a miracle because my dad is Scottish. And he's genetically predisposed to frugality. And so my sister and I, we couldn't believe our good fortune that day. And it didn't take me long to decide in my mind. I knew exactly the toy that I wanted. So we got into the car, we drove across town, pulled into the parking lot. I swung open the door, ran across the parking lot, through the front doors, and straight to the action figure aisle. I pulled off of the shelf my very own G.I. Joe shark flying submarine. Oh, this wasn't just any toy. This was a submersible, high-speed attack and reconnaissance craft. It was part submarine and part jet plane. It was retrofit with advanced 1984 technology, where you could hold this toy under the water, and when you let go of it, it didn't sink to the bottom like other toys would, and it didn't come flying up to the top. It would slowly, stealthily make its way to the surface, where it would burst out of the water in this moment of glory and come to float upon it, waiting for just a moment's notice where it could take to the skies and hunt enemy cobra spies. This toy was the stuff that seven-year-old boys' dreams are made of. And so I couldn't wait to get home to put it together and begin to play with it. I was dreaming of that moment as I drove home with this thing in the back of the car when I would hold it underwater. and I would watch it stealthily, slowly make its way to the surface of the water like I had seen in all the commercials. And so I couldn't wait to get home. I said, "Dad, can I open the box now?" And my dad said, "Yes, Keith, you can open the box, but be careful not to lose any of the pieces or we won't be able to put it together." And I said, "Dad, of course, I'll be very careful." And so you can imagine me, a 7-year-old boy sitting in the back seat of the station wagon. I open the box and I begin to take the pieces out, inspecting them with great carefulness. The missiles, the wings, the diver. Oh, the diver that it came with. I was so engrossed in my own world that I was even there imagining what it would be like to hold this thing underwater and let go. I was chewing on little pieces of styrofoam from the package. I'm inspecting the stickers and memorizing the instruction manual. And so when we got home, I ran straight to the bathroom and I filled up the bathtub with water. I went back to my dad and he helped me carefully put together all of the pieces. And it was going so great until we got to step 5. My dad turned to me and said, "Keith, where are the styrofoam pieces?" To this day, I can literally taste them in my mouth. He said, "Keith, we need those pieces in order to make the toy float." Panic set in. We put the rest of the toy together. I ran to the bathtub. I put it underwater, and I let go, and that toy sank to the bottom of the tub with a thud, along with my 7-year-old heart. The gift turned out to be a great disappointment. Christmas is a gift. It's a gift that God gives us, but we can get to the end of the holiday season, and when all is said and done, we can be left a little disappointed. Have you ever experienced that? You see, to truly enjoy what Christmas is intended to be, we need to understand the gift as it's given. And so I want to take a few moments this morning, just a few moments, to unbox the gift. To unbox the gift that is Christmas. Because as we unbox it, as we come to understand the gift that God has given us, we won't be left disappointed. Now, like every gift that is given, when we open a gift, something that is hidden inside comes to light. It becomes visible, much like the Kinder Surprise, right? When we unbox the surprise in the egg, the mystery is revealed. And that's how the gift of Christmas works. The gift of Christmas is all about something that is invisible becoming visible again, or becoming visible for the first time. In the very first Christmas poem ever written, the Apostle John, he says it this way in the poem. "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, Jesus, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, he has made him known." You see, what John is trying to tell us is that the Christmas is the gift where the invisible God is made visible in the person of Jesus Christ. God wraps himself in human flesh and gives himself to the world as a gift, so that people like you and people like me, we might know him. It's an incredible gift. Think of it for just a moment. The God who created the mountains and who set the stars in their place, he couldn't stand the thought of you going through life without knowing that he's there, that he cares, that he loves you. And so he wraps himself in human flesh and makes what is unseen seen in the person of Jesus. I have a dog named Asher. And he's a sweet dog, but he's getting a little old these days. And it's a little bit sad, actually, because he's mostly blind and totally deaf. And so sometimes we'll find him sitting in the middle of the room just staring off into space because he can't see anything. And when he walks around the house, he'll bump into walls and bags that are on the ground. It's a little bit sad. But when Asher was younger, he would be full of life. Whenever we were out of the house for a while and we'd come home from being away, when we would open the door, he would hear us and he would see us and he would run to the door and he would greet us with such love. His favorite thing was to welcome us at the door. It brought him such great joy. But now that he's older and he can't see, he can't hear, he doesn't know when we come home. So we come through the door, and we find him just sitting on a couch, staring off into space. And so what I like to do sometimes is when I go home, I'll go over to Asher, and I'll pet him on the head to let him know that he's not alone, to let him know that we're there, that we love him. And that's how the gift of Christmas works. God, though we are deaf and blind to God, in sending Jesus, God lets us know that we're not alone, that he's there, that he cares, that he loves us. The gift of Christmas is about the invisible God being made visible in Jesus. And maybe you've heard the stories of Jesus that come in the Bible, these pictures that we get to see of who Jesus is. Because when we see Jesus, we actually see God. We see who he is and what he's like. That's the gift of Christmas. So think of what we see. We see God when we see Jesus laying humbly in a manger. And we see God when we see Jesus touch the sick and the outsider, the broken. We see God, the Holy One, when we see Jesus welcoming sinners and outcasts to eat with him at his table. We see God when we see Jesus washing the feet of the very people who would betray him. We see God when we see Jesus take upon himself the sins of the world and suffer their consequence on a Roman cross. You see, the one thing that we see more than all other things when we see Jesus is the love of God, love for people, love for his creation, like you and like me. You see, when Christmas is finally unboxed, we see a God. We see humble and compassionate, holy, embracing, serving, Savior of a God. The gift of Christmas is about the invisible becoming visible. And what we see is love incarnate. But the gift of Christmas is not complete until we see ourselves in it. You see, the gift of Christmas is not complete until we have been embraced by the love that God has shown us in Jesus. Andrei Rublev is a famous Russian painter from the 15th century. And his most famous work is often called The Trinity. And in it, it's his depiction of God. He's trying to make visible what is an invisible reality about God. And so in his picture, which is shown here, there are three people sitting around a table. And it's his creative way of trying to express one of the most fundamental things that we know about who God is. Because the most fundamental thing we know is that God, at his very core, in his very essence, is a relationship of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so he tries to represent this in the picture. And so on the left of the table is this character that represents the Father, who is clothed in gold, which represents perfection and glory. In the middle is the Son, clothed in blue, which is the color of humanity. And on the other side is the Spirit, clothed in green, which represents this divine life that comes to the world to make it flourish. He's picturing the relationship of love that is God. Now, the most interesting thing about this picture, though, isn't simply this relationship of love that he's trying to get into our minds, but art historians will tell you that the most interesting part of this picture is the little box right in the middle, lower part of the picture. Do you see it? Historians say that this is intended to be the focal point of the picture. Your eye is drawn to that place. It's like there's an empty seat at the table. But what's even more interesting is when they've studied this picture, in that place, they found glue residue. And they believe that when Rublev finished his painting, he actually glued something to that box. Well, not just something, a mirror. The beauty of Rublev's work here is that when he paints the relationship of love, the focal point is a mirror. So imagine yourself standing before this painting when it was first made. You're reflecting on Christmas and all that it means. That the invisible God makes himself visible in the person of Jesus. And then you're this relationship of love. And then your eye is drawn to the focal point. And you see a mirror. See, the beauty of his work is he painted you into the picture. The masterpiece is not complete until you see yourself at the table of fellowship with God. That's the gift of Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. That the invisible God made himself visible in Jesus Christ. And when we see Jesus, our eyes are opened to the love of a heavenly Father's embrace. And the gift is not complete until we take our place at the table and we're enveloped by the love for which we've been made. If we receive that gift at Christmas, we'll never be disappointed. We'll never be disappointed again. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to take a moment this morning to orient our hearts, to prepare room in our hearts for you, because you're why we're here. Jesus, we thank you that you didn't stay in the glories of heaven, but you stepped out, that you took on flesh and moved into our neighborhood so that we might see heaven's love incarnate. And Jesus, we thank you that you invite us into a relationship with the God who made us and loves us. And so this Christmas, Lord, we want to take our place at your table to be embraced by you so that we might enjoy being sons and daughters once again. Lord, we love you. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.